Good morning, good morning, good morning. Thank you all for coming on this wonderful Palm Sunday, and I hope to see all of you again, if not most of you, on Easter. Should be very good. Most of you know that I came from Boston before I was here, and Boston is a fascinating place. It has so much history. The church that I attended, Old South Church, was the church in which the folks met to debate about taxation of the British and then left to perform the Boston Tea Party. Ben Franklin was baptized in the church that I went to. There is so much history if you look for it. So much history that is widely known and much history that is less widely known. There is an organization called the Massachusetts Bible Society, which has been around for several hundred years. Its original mission was to print Bibles and other Christian material and to send it to different places in the world. I remember taking a tour of that organization and taking a tour of the Congregational Library associated with our denomination, located in Boston, which has many old texts. And they mentioned that they had a very large collection of Bibles and other materials in Armenian. Now, why would they have that? It's all from a particular period. It's all from the beginning of the 20th century, around 1915. You see, it is a little example of how something halfway around the world can leave evidence right under our feet. In 1915, the Ottoman Empire rounded up all of the Armenian Christians and murdered them. It was what many scholars think the first modern genocide. What is difficult to deal with today is that it is a genocide that many people fail to acknowledge. You see evidence of it. You see all of the Armenian literature that piled up at Massachusetts Bible Society because it had no place to go. There are many other records, and yet the modern country of Turkey does not want to admit that it happened. Those that even suggest in Turkey that it happened are often jailed and persecuted. Newspapers are run out of business that publish material on this. And the rest of the world is often scared to bring it up. Only 20-some countries have bothered to admit it because they don't want to upset Turkey. Our own country has had a great deal of debate on whether or not to officially recognize that this even happened, even though it was some 100 years ago almost. Our scripture passage from Luke is a familiar one. We all know of Palm Sunday, the great day in which Christ rides triumphantly into Jerusalem. The crowds are cheering. They are throwing their cloaks, throwing palm branches in some versions on the ground. They are calling him King. Praise the King who is coming. Not King of Jerusalem, not King of their general area, but King. King even over Caesar. And we get this interesting part of the passage where the Pharisees are telling Jesus to tell the disciples to be quiet. And, you know, quite often the Pharisees get a bad rap from us. We see them arguing with Jesus, and we think, therefore, that they don't respect Jesus, that they don't like Jesus. And Therefore, maybe we don't like them. But really, they were some of the closest of Jesus' allies. They were a sect of Jews themselves, a bit persecuted, that talked with Jesus, that thought Jesus had much to offer. Whether or not they believed he was the Messiah was something different, but they certainly respected and believed in his work. And they say to Jesus, "Teacher," we know that they respect him because they use that word. "Teacher, be quiet." Be quiet because they are listening. Those people that will come and take us away, those people that will crush us in their wake, they are listening. You see, this was the Passover celebration, and often it was a time when insurrection happened, when the Jews, tired of being oppressed by the Romans, would rise up and cause trouble. And just as Jesus was riding up one side of Jerusalem on a donkey or a colt, Pontius Pilate was riding on the other side on a great war stallion with a vast army behind him, showing that nobody better get out of order this season, or they will pay the price. And so they are just scared. They're worried for Jesus. "Jesus, be quiet. Don't cause all this commotion. They'll punish you." So often I think that is one of the reasons we don't speak up about things that are wrong in our world. Perhaps it's as simple as an inconvenience, being unwilling to insult Turkey, an important ally in all of the world political theater. Perhaps it is our own fear of being persecuted by the same people that we are speaking up against. You see, we are often loud about many things. We will shout to the rafters about the most inconsequential of activities. What is Lady Gaga doing recently? Have you seen her new video? "I can't believe she's using Miracle Whip. Did you hear the vice president? He said a naughty word and it was picked up by the microphones." Oh, I could go on and on. And I don't have to, because people go on and on about it. Somehow, a product placement or a dirty word seems to be either no big deal or the end of the world, depending upon which pundit or expert you talk to. But yet, when it comes time to speak out about other things, we are sometimes too silent. We are often loud, but are we proud of what we are loud about? At the end of the day, when all has taken place, can we say that we stood up when it was necessary? Can we say that we stood up when they took Jesus away, not just when he rode into Jerusalem? You see, it is easy to be a supporter on Palm Sunday, but very difficult by the time Friday arrives. One such person is Paul Rhesus Beginia. Does that name sound familiar to anyone? You see, in 1994, in Rwanda, there was a great civil struggle. The Hutus and the Tutsis were two groups that had been battling for power. And the Hutu rebels had started to form a plan, not just for political gain, but to annihilate all Tutsis in Rwanda, to murder them, to create genocide. And the UN was tipped off to begin with. They had gotten word that this would be happening. But you see, they had a mandate that unless genocide was involved, they couldn't participate. They couldn't step in and get involved in the politics of that country. And so that is the great debate. At which point did they know it was genocide? When 1 million people were killed, it was pretty obvious. But the rest of the world was too late in helping. We were willing to send troops there to support peace. We were willing to get behind the idea of ending the struggle. But when the crucifixion of the Rwandan genocide came, many were willing to be silent. But not Paul. He was the manager of a hotel. And I'm sure many of you have seen the movie that depicts these events. And he took in Tutsi refugees. His wife was a Tutsi. And he used his influence with those in power. He used the connections he had. He sent his wife off to the airport, but stayed behind because he knew the refugees would have no chance without him. In the end, his wife wouldn't get to the airport. She would be beaten and returned to the hotel. And through his work and his bravery, he saved many people's lives that day. You see, he was willing to stand up. He was willing to be loud and demand that everyone be treated with the love of God. That we cannot allow ourselves to descend into such evil deeds. And there was no guarantee that he would not pay the ultimate price for it. There was no guarantee that his leadership, his walk with Christ, he once wanted to be a minister, that his passion to do what was right, to speak up when it was inconvenient, there was no guarantee that that wouldn't cost him his life. But he was willing to do it nonetheless. You see, we all have Holy Week moments. We all have a Palm Sunday in our lives when we begin to speak up, when we begin to do what's necessary, when we begin to point out the elephant in the room or suggest that maybe this is not okay, to suggest that something has to change. But to really walk with Christ, to really pick up the cross, requires that we do not stop today. It requires that we continue walking that path even though it gets difficult. That we continue to stand up for what we believe in. That we continue to stand up for those that have no voice. You see, many times in our history, there have been instances when we knew it was wrong, be it slavery, the oppression of women, civil rights. We knew segregation was wrong, and yet many of us were silent. I guarantee you, whatever issue it is, look to the side of love. Look to the side of God. If it involves hate, if it involves violence, if it involves oppressing others, I guarantee you it is not good and godly. And I guarantee you that in the decades to come, people will look back and they will say, where were we when this happened? Bill Clinton says that his largest failure as president was lacking the courage to stand up against the Rwandan genocide. And he hoped that it was a lesson that we would forever remember and never forget. I am sure there are all of you that have these moments in your lives when you wish you had stood up. Maybe it's to suggest that your father as an alcoholic when nobody else would do it. Maybe it's to help a friend that was being mistreated out of that situation. We all have these moments which we don't live up to what we should do. But the thing is, if we learn from them, if we continue to try to walk in that path of Christ, even if we don't always do it successfully, that's what matters. We are not perfect. We do not always do what is right. We don't always speak up when we should. But what's important is that we learn from it. That we continue to try and be better disciples. That we continue to try to walk the road to the cross, even when it seems most difficult. If we do that, I guarantee you, we will find our way to Resurrection Sunday. I guarantee you that as a people, we will find our way to a better place. That through all of the hurt, all of the toil, all of the oppression, we will find our way to a better future. Jesus is always walking in that direction. He is always riding that donkey, riding to a better future. I hope we join him. Amen.